It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Head of the pack, all the way in, slam!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Overtime. Big show on the way. Surprise announcement on the way coming up here in about 20 minutes or so on this Tuesday, May 12th edition of the program. Have we seen the loss last of LeBron James? I severely doubt it. We'll dive in to landing spots, the what ifs, and if the best place for LeBron to end up is where his feet are right now in Los Angeles. That's up for debate. L.A., Cleveland, New York, a couple other opportunities and landing spots for the great one, LeBron James. Certainly big offseason headline in the NBA. We'll sift through the early read on those destinations, potential destinations for the career prospects, future career prospects of LeBron James. We're talking with Sam Herder of Hero Sports coming up here in about 20 minutes. The long FCS offseason is upon us. We got spring ball behind us. We got a nice little break here. We'll set the stage, talk a little Jackrabbits, Coyotes, and so much more with Sam Herder of Hero Sports. Also talk about his new show that is out and about, the Mondak Football Show. We'll also recap and rewind the NBA, NHL postseason action you may have missed. Set the stage right now with some odds and outlook the rest of the way. And then in hour number two, we start that out with headlines and highlights. Aggie baseball off to the NCAA tournament yet again. Third time that they have won the NSIC regular season and the tournament, and the fifth time in program history that they take home the NSIC tournament title. Head coach Tim Huber joins us at about 12:20 to talk about the matchup, the initial matchup, Northwest Missouri State, and more. On the way, Aggie baseball comes into focus in hour number two at 12:20. Then a big beefy edition of the good, the bad, the ugly. But preceding that, your latest NFL talk, and we got a lot to get to because the schedule release is like holding back the floodgates right now. We're getting nugget after nugget after nugget, including the Denver Broncos and perhaps the Patrick Mahomes-less Kansas City Chiefs meeting on Monday Night Football in week number one. That's going to be a big one to open up the Monday Night Football slate for the 2026 NFL season. But the big story is the NBA playoffs. As we dive right in, last night in game number one of the night, Cleveland equalized the series with Detroit. That's a good one. 112-103. Donovan Mitchell had 39 points in the second half, 43 total, as Cleveland gets by Detroit 112-103. That series now tied at two games apiece. Now the Lakers were looking to stave off elimination, looking to prolong the Laker career and maybe the career in general of LeBron James. Austin Reeves, a decent look at a basket late that would have tied the game.
Reeves to Rui, right back to Austin. Austin moving right. Austin still dribbling. He's double-teamed. Dribbles it off his foot. Goes back and picks it up. Throws up a three to beat the shot clock and hit it.
Wow.
I mean, an absolute desperation three, and it went in.
And Lakers were done just about at that point. 115-110, the final score. Here's last night's final call from John Ireland.
Brings it into Smart. There's the three. It's no good, and that'll do it. And the season comes to an end. The Oklahoma City Thunder eliminate the Lakers 4-0. The final score, OKC 115, Lakers 110. This was the best game of the series. Frankly, Michael, it was the type of game we expected.
Every game.
In all of them.
Yes.
And we didn't get that until tonight. But the Lakers go down in the second round.
There you go. 4-0 sweep for OKC. They have yet to lose a game in the postseason. LeBron James, if you're a fan of repeating a statement over and over and over again, this clip's for you. Nobody knows what the future holds.
LeBron, if you don't know what the future holds, I guess that means inherently this could be it. Do you allow yourself to kind of those last handshakes in this last press conference?
Last handshakes? Nah, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, none of us in here know what the future holds. Nobody has any idea what the future holds, and I don't either. Like I said, I'll take time to recalibrate and look over the season and see what's best for my future. And when I get to that point, everyone will know.
So the Lakers had a pretty nice season. I think they defied expectations based on the smattering of injuries they dealt with down the stretch. Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic never got back on the court for L.A. following his recent injury. So they were kind of whitewashed out of the first round. They get through the first round with a win over Houston into the second round. Really no contest, as a lot of teams are lately for OKC. So the Lakers lose in round number two. J.J. Redick on his Lakers, his team, and how far away they are from a title right now.
That's what we got to figure out this offseason. I will say, for the things that we set out to do and build our championship habits and build our championship communication and championship shape, I thought we were darn close to doing that. Doesn't mean you're going to win a championship, but I would say I take a lot of pride in our players and what they all individually went through, what we collectively went through, and what we turned out to be. You don't know on day one of training camp what you're going to turn out to be. And just proud of who we are.
Proud of who we are. That's the narrative from J.J. Redick. Let's hear from Coach Mark Dagenau after another sweep for OKC. Moving on to the Western Conference Finals.
Winning 8 playoff games is really hard. You know, winning a playoff game is really hard. It requires unbelievable effort and focus and execution and connectedness. And we've been very, very good. I thought, like I said tonight, I thought we had more lapses tonight than we had in previous games. So we have to learn from that, obviously. We have to play better in more of the 48 minutes. But I also think, you know, the wind's going to be in your face in the playoff game for different reasons at different times, and you've got to be able to recenter. And I thought we did that exceptionally well tonight.
And that's Mark Dagenau. That's the OKC Thunder moving on to the Western Conference Finals. They'll see the winner of the T-Wolves and Spurs. Let's talk about LeBron James landing spots. A lot of different opinions here. Jay Williams says, start the story or end the story where it started.
There's no better final chapter in the LeBron James farewell tour than coming back to Cleveland. What that would do for the league and what that would do in the Eastern Conference. Now, let's be honest, it's up for grabs.
Yep.
There's no like dominant team in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are playing well right now. They probably get out this year considering what's going to happen with Cleveland and Detroit. But that's the move.
That's a pretty good point there. If you want to be competitive, want to lead the team back to a big stage, maybe that's the best play for LeBron James. Vince Goodwill disagrees, saying that where he is right now in Los Angeles with those Lakers is the best place moving forward for LeBron.
I think the best place for him is to remain a Laker, to retire a Los Angeles Laker. When you look at the landscape of the league, Greeny, and he's going to have to be the third option no matter where he goes if he wants to win a championship. I'm not sure if anybody's going to pay him max prices, $50+ million, to be that at 42, 43 years old. The best place for him to be probably is a Laker, but probably not at a max deal.
And again, it'll be a big water cooler debate across the world today about the future of LeBron James. A lot of different opportunities out there, and certainly some landing spots continuing to emerge. Elsewhere, we'll see the T-Wolves and Spurs collide tonight, 7 o'clock on NBC. De'Aaron Fox is questionable with an ankle injury. Victor Wembanyama will play after not getting suspended, and Kendrick Perkins has a little bit of an issue with the way the NBA approached this one.
Victor Wembanyama should have been suspended for tonight's game. Mm. Like, real talk, as a guy that led the league in technical fouls, a guy that was suspended, you saw the video that I showed yesterday on First Take?
Yes.
I got suspended for a slight headbutt. This man looked him in the eyes and lined him up and threw a malicious elbow, a vicious elbow. And you know what it said for the rest of the league? You know what Adam Silver and the NBA said to the rest of the league? We prioritize stardom and views over the health of our players.
Huh.
Because Draymond is right. If that was the other way around and Naz Reid would have took out Wimby, he would have been suspended for the day. You cannot do that. It's about protecting the brand, not the names on the back of the jersey. And that's what that call was about when it came down to Wimby not being suspended.
Trump. So Wimby will be in the lineup in San Antonio, a heavy favorite tonight. 10.5 the number. As that series continues from San Antonio, 7 o'clock on NBC. Other big notable storylines this offseason, Evan Cohen talking about potential trade partners for Giannis Antetokounmpo and an exit from Milwaukee.
You're not going to come up with a trade that is going to benefit the Bucks anytime in the next 5 years. Okay, so Paolo Banchero would be the centerpiece in Orlando. What is that going to get you if you're Milwaukee? They don't have picks. They're all in Memphis for Desmond Bane. What are you going to do with that? Miami has been mentioned. Tyler Herro from Milwaukee, good to great player in his career. He's not a championship player in terms of being number one. Khalil Ware, like what are you going to get here? Your Lakers, let's say they clear everybody out. It's an open roster. Give them everything. What's everything? Okay, Golden State, the four first rounders. And then what? Jimmy Butler? Okay, well then you're going to flip Jimmy Butler again. What are you getting exactly? Everybody says you got to trade Giannis. For what? So for me, before I even consider trading Giannis, I am going to consider building a team with whatever I have left around him to make him say no to the contract.
So that's a big opinion there from Evan Cohen. Maybe there's not an actual robust market available for Giannis. What are you going to get? Who are you going to get? I think that there was an offer already out there. I believe that was a report that was confirmed that Tyler Herro was the trade piece that Miami was offering up and saying, hey, let us know what you think. How about some other pieces here? But Tyler Herro, clearly not much in desire by Milwaukee in past years, past deadlines. We'll see about what other opportunities arise, but Evan Cohen's right there when you talk about limited opportunities, limited trade packages available for the Milwaukee Bucks if and when they decide to cut the cord with Giannis Antetokounmpo there in Milwaukee. That's all for the NBA for now. Over to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Pretty competitive game, 2-2 in the third period, but the Avalanche get the big win, 5-2 the final, a 4-1 third period margin. They take a 3-1 lead in the series. We'll have some stories, sights, and sounds from that one later, including a puck to the face and a butt of a stick to the neck. Pretty ugly stuff for the Minnesota Wild, as they lose 5-2 last night to Colorado. Tonight in the NHL, Sabres and Canadiens from Montreal, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Montreal leads 2-1, and they're a favorite to take a 3-1 lead minus 140 this morning. On the puck line, Ducks and the Golden Knights, 8:30 for me on ESPN, tied 2-2, Vegas minus 160 on the puck line as of this morning. And a light slate yesterday in Major League Baseball, Twins were not in action. And the only area team or AL Central squad in action was the Guardians. They picked up a win over the Angels, 7-2, new record for them is 22-21. Today and tonight across Major League Baseball, Angels and Guardians lead us off at 5:10. Rockies and Pirates, Tigers and Mets, Cubs and the Braves collide in Atlanta, 6:15 on TBS. Marlins and Twins open a series from Target Field, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 the official start time right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Over to the National Football League, Troy Aikman reacting to the Monday Night Football opener, Kansas City and Denver.
Everyone's wondering whether or not Patrick Mahomes obviously is going to be back for that one. A down year last year for that franchise. I expect them to come back and be the team that we've seen for much of the last decade. And then, of course, with Denver, you could argue that they were a quarterback injury away from making it to the Super Bowl. It's unfortunate for that organization, but what a great job Sean Payton has done. So to kick that off week one in a divisional game, I always liked that as a player when you opened up against a divisional opponent and kind of help set the tone in what is a very competitive division.
So the big question there is big stage, big divisional matchup. It'll be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. Is Patrick Mahomes going to be ready for that game? Here is ESPN's Adam Schefter.
The Chiefs have been very open and transparent, saying that he's way ahead of schedule. That's their words, their phrasing, way ahead of schedule. And it's hard to imagine that Patrick Mahomes, even him coming off an ACL, wouldn't find a way to be back for a game that would be 4 months from Thursday. 4 months from now, give Patrick Mahomes 4 more months when he already has looked pretty good. I think we have to operate thinking that he will be there until we're told he's not.
That is absurd. If you think about ACL recoveries, back in the day, everybody knew a grandpa, a really great athlete. You know, he blew out his knee and never was the same. Couldn't play again. That was the end of the career. And then we got ACL and knee ligament tear reconstruction where it's, okay, he's going to miss this year. He'll be out a calendar year. It'll be a late start to the season. And now we got dudes like Patrick Mahomes, who is not a spring chicken, tearing multiple ligaments in a knee and going to be back for the week one opener. Absolutely absurd. I wouldn't put it past him, but that's the latest from Adam Schefter on Patrick Mahomes. More from Schefty here. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not and have and didn't reach a kumbaya with Aaron Rodgers over the weekend. Apparently that report, maybe not entirely accurate. Aaron Rodgers may not have been in Pittsburgh over the weekend or may not have been talking with the Steelers even if he was in Pittsburgh. But the Steelers apparently pretty happy with their backup quarterback options.
They've operated always as if he's there, that's great. They'd love to have him. And if he's not, they're ready to roll with Will Howard. And I know that people sound like, well, Will Howard. They really like Will Howard. They have Will Howard on the roster. They have Mason Rudolph on the roster. They drafted Drew Aller on the roster. So they have quarterbacks. It's not like if Rodgers all of a sudden decides at some point in the near future that he's not going to play, that they'll be left hanging high and dry. They're comfortable with those guys. They would like and want Aaron Rodgers to come back. That's their hope. But they've made the moves that they feel like they need to make to be ready for the coming season in the event that he decides that he's not going to be there.
That's ESPN's Adam Schefter. So maybe the Steelers are not all that desperate. Maybe they have a young quarterback that they like, don't love. Because if they loved him, they wouldn't even be entertaining the Aaron Rodgers return. But you get a feeling that Will Howard might be somebody that they'd be comfortable trotting out there eventually. But they prefer the veteran option. We'll see. Options are certainly very limited in this 11th hour for Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lastly, Rodgers' former team, the Green Bay Packers, not getting talked about a ton in the NFC North debate. Everybody wants to say how great those Chicago Bears are.
The book is now out on Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. I will offset that with Ben Johnson tearing down Caleb Williams in order to build him back up and them being better in year two working together than they were in year one. There is a foundation that they've been able to establish. And oh, by the way, we've got proof of concept because in year one, we won a division title. I think they're actually going to improve on it. Now, while it might not result in more wins, they did have a dozen wins last year. And I absolutely expect that they're going to compete, potentially win the division yet again this year.
So that's very interesting. Again, everybody is going to crown an offseason champion at some point. Chicago apparently feels like that team. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're not going to be in the playoffs or be up there competing for the division latter stage of the season. I think they will. I really do. But it's very hard to prognosticate. And I don't see a whole lot that makes Chicago head and shoulders or at any portion a better football team than the Lions, than the Packers. They might be a little bit better than the Minnesota Vikings, but that division is so darn tight from top to bottom in the NFC North. Going to be a very fun season ahead in 2026. Now, rounding out the scorecard, D2 softball, Augustana alive and well, heading to the NCAA tournament. They'll take on top-seeded Missouri Southern in that particular regional. Game one for Augie, Thursday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. D1 softball, South Dakota punched their ticket to the Lincoln regional. They'll lock horns with the Husker program Friday at 5:30. Watch that game on ESPN+. Plus, and D2 baseball, onto the NCAA tournament yet again for Augustana. They are a 5-seed matching up with 4-seed Northwest Missouri State. That matchup Thursday, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll be talking with head coach Tim Huber of Augie Baseball coming up in about an hour. Let's dive right in to your ReliaBank headlines of the day. University of Sioux Falls freshman golfer Charlie Hansen capped a historic debut season by competing at the 2026 NCAA D2 Men's Golf Central Midwest Regional, becoming the first student athlete in program D2 history to qualify as an individual for the NCAA Regional Championship competition. Hansen's appearance marked another milestone for Sioux Falls men's golf that continues to reach new heights, and certainly a very historic first season for Charlie Hansen. You can view all of the accolades there at usfcougars.com, but Hansen's postseason appearance put the finishing touches on a remarkable freshman season, posted a 73.19 scoring average, the best by a first-year player ever in program history and the fourth-best single-season scoring average overall in that program's history. USFCougars.com with that latest article. And congratulations. Great season for young golfer Charlie Hansen. And I always like to tell you guys where and when USF, Augustana, USD, or SDSU lands a notable recruit. And how about this news? As of yesterday, Clear Lake, Iowa, Clear Lake Lion football 2027 quarterback and athlete recruit Jackson McIntyre has committed to USD. He put up 28 touchdowns, over 1,600 passing yards, 400 rushing yards, and threw at a 69% completion rate. That's pretty darn absurd at the high school level. USD scores a recruit there, quarterback recruit for the class of 2027 in Jackson McIntyre. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more talk about the Yotes and the Jacks and everything in between at FCS college football. Sam Herder of Hero Sports is our guest when we return to the Tuesday edition of Overtime next, right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Getting going on this Tuesday, May 12th edition of Overtime. We are now into the brutally long portion of the offseason. Spring ball behind us. A nice break for the college football fans, but everybody already chomping at the bit. If you're an FCS, FBS fan, D2, D3, we can't wait for July and August season to roll back around, helping us keep company this time of year. Sam Herder with Hero Sports is our guest, joining us now on the ESPN hotline. Sam, it's always great to talk to you. How you doing this week?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Always good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Certainly, it's always great to talk to you, man. Usually, it's football season when we're talking to you, but we're in the midst of this long portion of the offseason. How are you staying busy? Certainly, there's no shortage of articles up at herosports.com. You guys are previewing top returning linebackers, quarterbacks, individual teams, and so much more. How are you personally staying busy and coping in the middle of May for this FCS offseason?
Yeah, it's every offseason, it seems like it goes by slowly, but once the season starts, it's like, oh, that offseason actually went by pretty quickly. So we're moving along here. You know, during the offseason, you know, there's usually a bit of a dead period in late January into February, but this offseason in particular, it was quite newsy. I mean, you had the coaching changes at South Dakota and Montana. That same week, it was when NDSU announced that they'd be moving on to the FBS. I mean, so it was a pretty newsy February. And then the calendar turns to March and April. That's more of like some NFL draft stuff, doing some transfer portal stuff as well. And then once we hit May, it's really when preview season begins, where I start previewing some of the top teams in 2026, some of the top returning players as well. So we're in that portion of the offseason where we're looking ahead to the upcoming season.
And you can find all those articles and great must-haves to keep you company in the offseason right now, herosports.com. Last week, a Montana State football preview. That's one of the favorites to repeat coming up pretty darn soon. Of course, Illinois State football preview, that was the runner-up this past season. Sam Herder with Hero Sports, our guest here on a Tuesday. Spring ball observations. I know USD Coyote fans are well-noted about the quarterback competition. Three quarterbacks in camp for spring ball. One's going to be the starter come the start of the year. What else kind of stood out to you between the Jackrabbits, Coyotes, and anybody else moving the needle in the wake of spring ball, Sam?
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the powers of the FCS, you know, certainly three of the four, when it comes to Montana State, Montana, and then South Dakota State, they're bringing back their starting quarterbacks. And so a lot of attention turns to South Dakota with their starting quarterback battle. You know, obviously had a really veteran guy and a stable presence as well in Aiden Bauman. With him now moving on and getting a shot in the NFL, I think a lot of eyes are on that quarterback battle going on in Vermillion. And, you know, most of the time you don't really see a quarterback winning a battle for the starting job during the spring. It does happen every now and then, but I feel like the Yotes have three really good candidates right now. You have Kramascoli, you know, kind of a veteran guy who knows the system. You have Majerski, who seems kind of like the future franchise guy, you know, highly touted recruit coming out of Colorado. And then you bring in Jackson Proctor, who has started many games at the FCS level, spent last year at the FBS level. But before that, he was at Dartmouth, where he played and won a decent amount of games. And so I feel like there is a really healthy battle going on in Vermillion. I don't really have a sense of who is going to win that battle, but I do think Jackson Proctor is going to play a role, even if he isn't the starting quarterback, which he might be. But even if he isn't a starter, I still feel like his dual threat abilities are going to be used by the Yotes. So I really like that transfer portal addition by the Yotes, bringing in Jackson Proctor.
Sam Herter with Hero Sports, our guest here on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Let's talk Jackrabbits. You recently put an article out about the top returning signal callers, quarterbacks. That was in late April. I think some Jackrabbit fans might have a little ruffled feathers that you got Chase Mason all the way down at number 7 and not at number 1 or 2. Give me your take on Chase Mason and his ceiling this year for the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, I think when we're talking just ceiling or pro potential, you could put Chase Mason number 1 on this list. But there is a difference between who's the best FCS quarterback and who's the best pro prospect. Mm-hmm. Those are two different things. I think Chase Mason and Jordan Cook from Idaho State are probably the top two pro prospects, just as far as their skill level, arm talent, all of those things. But you also have to take into consideration production and postseason accolades and, wins to a certain extent. And obviously, with Chase missing a decent amount of time with injury, it's always tough to kind of figure out where exactly they stack up. And you could say the same thing about a guy like Chase Van Tol for South Dakota State. He's one of the best linebackers in the FCS, but where exactly do you fit him in? Because, he didn't have the number of snaps or the production due to injury. Same thing with Lofton Ogrowski, probably one of the better wide receivers in the FCS, but where exactly do you fit them in when there's, multiple 1,000-yard receivers coming back? And so it is difficult when you're dealing with a guy who is uber-talented but also was limited the previous year due to injury. But I think, Chase, as far as just his skill set, has the capability of having an elite season. You can kind of just see it. Even if you have kind of an average eye watching football, you can see that when he spins the ball, it comes out of his arm, it comes out of his hand just a little bit differently than a lot of quarterbacks. And so the size, the skill set is all there for him to have a really good season. Obviously, hopefully he can stay healthy. And I think he's certainly going to be on NFL radars next offseason.
Great coverage is always available for the FCS level of college football. HeroSports.com. Sam Herter is our guest here on a Tuesday. Sam, I teased the audience yesterday with a big announcement with you coming up right now. So let's have at it. The Mondak Football Show is a recently launched venture by you and a couple others that is off the ground. It's coming here to this station this fall. Very excited and fired up to bring it Saturday mornings as part of our FCS and college football weekend preview. A, thanks for all you're doing. B, tell us about the Mondak Football Show. Of course, the focus going to be Montana and the Dakotas. The why behind it all. Tease us a little bit deeper with the Mondak Football Show and what we can expect to hear this fall right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Yeah, well, we're pumped to be on with you guys. Sioux Falls is obviously a key market, both with Jackrabbit fans and Yolk fans as well. And the inspiration behind this show is, honestly, I'm kind of surprised I didn't start this earlier, but it's been something that I've kind of thought about for a while. And that's, I already have an FCS Football Talk podcast, which is, kind of focus 500-foot level view of the FCS and all the top storylines. But a lot of listeners, when I look at the statistics, a lot of the listeners are coming from the state of Montana and also the Dakotas, in Minnesota, as well. Minnesota is pretty well represented. Obviously there's a lot of Dakota or fans of the Dakota teams that live in Minnesota. And so I kind of had the thought of, well, why don't I just launch a second show that just focuses on the Mondak schools? And it was funny. I think it was within 2 weeks after launching that show, NDSU announced that it was leaving for the FBS. And so originally we were covering all 6 teams in Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. Now we're down to 5 teams. We were just going to focus on the FCS teams. And so there won't be any, Bison coverage as they're moving on from the FCS. And so it's really just a show focusing on Montana, Montana State, South Dakota State, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And it was kind of our goal to get this syndicated on different radio stations and streaming platforms and different kind of just media platforms as well during the football season. So we don't have the final list just yet, but we're probably nearing an announcement of all the stations that we'll be on. But we'll be represented in about 20 towns or so, close to 30 total outlets as well, spread across the three states. And so we're really excited about that for the football season.
We're very fired up to have you again. We are not in concrete on the official time Saturday mornings, but very likely be Saturday mornings in the lead up to the college football preview of the weekend. The Mondak Football Show will be heard right here this fall on ESPN Sioux Falls. Sam Herder of Hero Sports. As for what to expect, tell us a little bit about the show, hour-long format, focused on those five schools. Talk to us a little bit deeper about what fans can expect on Saturday mornings here.
Yeah, the show is hosted by myself and Brad Jones. Brad is based out of Fargo. He has 20 plus years of radio experience. He's hosted a national FCS pregame show on Bison 1660. He does do some NDSU coverage, he's also had a really nice focus on FCS as well. So that is my co-host for the show. And right now we do have episodes out just in podcast format, kind of just talking about overall big picture storylines with these teams. But once we get to the football season, like you said, it'll be an hour-long show. We'll do everything from kind of top storylines, where these teams are fitting into the FCS championship race, game previews, predictions, what's going well, what's not going well. The episodes will air later on in the week, and so we probably won't do a whole lot of recap just because what happened the previous week will, people will already know and be moved on by then. But yeah, just a focus on these five FCS teams that I expect to all be in contention in making deep FCS playoff runs. So really excited to kind of solely focus on those five teams when it comes to this show.
Well, there you have it. The Mondak Football Show coming to ESPN Sioux Falls beginning this fall, running through the entirety of college football season all the way up to the national championship game for the FCS. Sam Herder with Hero Sports helping us get that on the air here with ESPN Sioux Falls. Sam, we'll talk to you down the line really darn soon, man. Fired up to welcome the Mondak Football Show into the catalog here in Sioux Falls, and thanks for all you continue to do.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely appreciate the support, and always good to be on your show.
All right, that's Sam Herder with Hero Sports. You can find him tagged in today's show log. You can also find a link in his profile on Twitter to the Mondak Football Show. You want a little preview of what's going to be ahead this fall on ESPN Sioux Falls at Sam Herder. FCS, the place to go, also tagged in today's show log. Montana, Montana State, UND, SDSU, and USD. And I got to tell you, I know there are Jackrabbit and Coyote fans out there. When Sam said, yep, they moved up, they're not going to be part of the coverage, that everybody said, yes, that's what I'm talking about. No more Bison talk around the Mondak Football Show coming this fall to this station. ESPN Sioux Falls, very fired up for that, and always great to talk with Sam Herder of Hero Sports. We will take a break, middle of hour number one. When we come back, NBA chatter. Yes, we're talking about LeBron James and his playing future. NHL updates. How about a butt of a stick to the neck last night and a puck to the face? It was an action-packed loss for Minnesota Wild hockey last night, 5-2. Latest update there. Some beef forming between the two teams, already well-formed between Minnesota and Colorado. We'll dive in and set the stage, odds and outlook for the NBA, NHL postseason coming up next on this Tuesday, May 12th edition of Overtime.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Moving moving right along on this Tuesday, May 12th edition of Overtime. We just wrapped up a chat with Sam Herder of Hero Sports. The long FCS offseason is upon us. You can keep company, though, at herosports.com. Latest rankings, season previews, and so much more. For each and every team out there, wall-to-wall coverage for the FCS, herosports.com. Also just announced that the Mondak Football Show, featuring schools, as the name would suggest, from the Dakotas and Montana, Montana State, the Grizz, the Fighting Hawks of UND, Jackrabbits and Coyotes, bundled up into one. The Mondak Football Show going to be coming this fall to this radio station every single Saturday morning during the football season. Mondak Football Show, guided by Sam Herder, will be joining us on the lineup Saturday morning. Stay tuned for further details on that. But a big announcement today on a Tuesday, May 12th edition of the show. Let's talk hockey. Last night, by changing their lines, pairings, and starting goalie, the Avalanche have changed the dynamics of their second-round series against the Wild. The Avs, with goals from five different players last night, secured a 5-2 win in Game 4 that gave them a very strong, not a stranglehold, but a very strong lead, 3-1 in the series, and put them on the brink of their first Western Conference Finals appearance since 2022. I just think being ready to go, Avalanche winger Parker Kelly, who scored the go-ahead goal. I think you never know when your opportunities are going to come. Everyone's just been trying to do the right thing, and you got to be ready. It's one shot, it's one play, you got to bear down on, probably going to come your way, and all these guys in here are ready. Minnesota's commanding 5-1 win in Saturday's Game 3 was Colorado's first loss of the postseason. Led Avalanche coach Jared Bednar to change his goaltenders in the second period with the belief that more adjustments could be made ahead of Game 4. Bednar, who guided the Avs to their Stanley Cup win recently in 2022, opted to roll with Mackenzie Blackwood in net over Scott Wedgwood last night. Blackwood stopped 12 of the 13 shots he faced in Game 3 in relief of Wedgwood, who allowed three goals on 12 shots. Now for the ugly, pair of ugly situations here from the game. First one, Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche star skated off with a bloody nose after being hit in the nose by a puck by teammate Devon Toews late in the second period of Game 4 of the second-round NHL playoff series against the Wild last night. Toews tried to send the ill-fated clearing attempt from the crease toward the corner, but it made a direct hit on MacKinnon's face instead. League's leading goal scorer during the regular season collapsed to his knees in pain before an athletic trainer arrived to press a towel under his nose, blood all over, streaming down the inside of MacKinnon's visor. Here's what Coach Jared Bednar had to say. If he was going to be able to get out there, he was going to be out there. I just felt for him because I just went through that. It doesn't feel very good. I cannot imagine that it does. What also doesn't feel good, didn't feel good in the moment last night, was what went down between Josh Manson and Michael McCarron. The defenseman for Colorado returned from a five-game absence with a costly mistake. The 12-year veteran was playing for the first time in the second-round NHL playoff series against the Wild. After recovering from an upper body injury, he was called for a double minor penalty for hitting Wild center Michael McCarron with the blunt end of his stick during a scrum midway through the first period. The video out there, you can watch it, you can dissect it, and I did that this morning, and you say, wow, that was quite a lot. That looked pretty darn intentional. And again, you could say scrum, just trying to hop up, get up, but he had both hands on his stick, kind of made contact right to that neck. Pretty dangerous maneuver here. Michael McCarron, certainly not a fan of Josh Manson after that. Here's him talking to PK Subban during intermission last night.
It's been a while, but it looked like you took a butt end to the jugular there. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how are you feeling now?
Yeah, I mean, you played against Josh. He's a dirty player. He's always been. Surprised he got away with only a four minute. I'm happy he's still in the game.
Happy he's still in the game. That is what Michael McCarron had to say. So certainly not buddy-buddy. That was another ugly situation. And it harkens you back all the way to Victor Wembanyama's elbow, which looked a lot more intentional than that. At least these two were kind of scrumming and fighting to get up off the ice. In Wemby's case, it was kind of a Slow down, dead ball, swing the elbow right to the neck of Naz Reid in the chin region. This one also not pretty. We'll wait and see if Josh Manson, who defended himself and says, you know, I've been in the league a long time, never been suspended. I'm not a dirty player. There's a lot of players more dirty than me. But yeah, not a good look there for the Colorado Avalanche in a win last night, 5-2. They take a 3-1 lead in the series. And let's take a look at the odds here where the Avalanche have reclaimed the top spot. With that big win last night, they're now the Stanley Cup favorite again after a brief foray where Carolina took over the top spot. Colorado plus 140, Hurricanes plus 155. Big step down to Vegas and Montreal, and then a massive step down to Buffalo, Anaheim, and now the weakest odds among teams still alive belong to Minnesota. The seventh best odds of seven teams remaining, plus 4,500. For the Minnesota Wild. Let's talk NBA basketball to round out the hour. We start with Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Milwaukee Bucks open for business on trade calls and offers for their two-time MVP, Giannis, entering the NBA draft combine and over 6 weeks away from the draft. Expected to be a robust market for Antetokounmpo's services, allegedly. Ownership and front office officials expect to maintain their trade deadline asking price of a young blue-chip talent and or a surplus of draft picks. The Bucks engaged in trade talks before the February deadline as the franchise cornerstone expressed his belief that the time had come to part ways. I think it's been proof in the pudding for a while. This marriage is not working out any longer. And the Bucks have tried. Giannis has tried. He's been absurdly loyal. And this is one of those scenarios in sports where you got to just say, okay, you know what? We respect the hell out of you. Thanks so much for all you've done here. You've been a great ambassador for the organization and the city and a representative of all we want this franchise to be about. We've tried to pair you with young talent. We've tried to pair you with old veteran sharpshooters. We tried to pair you with other guys on the open market via trade or free agency. And we just haven't been able to recreate that NBA Finals feeling or success we've seen in recent years. So maybe it's just time for Milwaukee to move on. And again, recently we did see Jimmy Haslam, one of the co-owners of the Bucks, express, yeah, we'd like to have that figured out sooner than later about his playing future in Milwaukee. So time is ticking and apparently open for business. The narrative put out by ESPN Shams Charania, courtesy of the Milwaukee Bucks this week. The Spurs have listed guard De'Aaron Fox as questionable for tonight's Game 5 of the Western Conference Semis at Frostbank Center in San Antonio because of right ankle soreness. Despite the questionable tag, Vegas is still all in on a big win tonight for San Antonio. That spread, as of this morning, even after this news about De'Aaron Fox, who is 1B to Wemby there in San Antonio, 10.5 points is the spread favoring the Spurs. Fox injured with about 7.5 to go in the third quarter in Monday in Game 4 at Minnesota, that even the series 2-2. T-Wolves guard Ayo Dosunmu landed on Fox's right ankle while driving for a loose ball, and Fox questionable for tonight's Game 5 of the Western Conference Semis. Vegas would indicate they expect him to play and play pretty darn well. De'Aaron Fox questionable for tonight. And lastly, recap of last night. We'll start in Game 1, where Cleveland found their way to a 112-103 win over Detroit, and Donovan Mitchell was fantastic last night. 43 total points, a second half outburst for Mitchell, a league record, matching a league record with 39 points of his 43 coming in the second half. Mitchell finished the game with the 43 and second half outburst, tied a record set by former Warriors guard Eric Sleepy Floyd in 1987 against the Lakers. Mitchell had an opportunity to break the record, but he missed a free throw with 27 seconds to go. Mitchell saying after the laugh after the game, everybody let me know I missed the free throw to break the record. I will say that we're 2-2 heading to Detroit. That was what we came home to do, and that is all that matters. The Cavs won back-to-back home games to send the Eastern Conference semis back to Detroit. Game 5 coming up Wednesday night at Little Caesars Arena. And then, of course, let's talk, like all of you have been talking around the water cooler today, about LeBron James. Record-setting 23rd NBA season ended relatively unceremoniously last night, a 115-110 loss to OKC in Game 4 of a second-round sweep of the Lakers. Noncommittal afterward about whether he'll continue playing in L.A. or elsewhere. Here's what LeBron had to say. I think you guys asked me about retirement. I've answered questions. I don't think I've come out and been like, oh, retirement's coming with my future. I don't know, honestly. It's still fresh from losing the series, and I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for me. Wherever you look for clips, that is the clip last night. I don't know what the future holds. Nobody knows what the future holds. The future's a mystery. Today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. 41-year-old James played 40 minutes last night, finished with 24 points and a game-high 12 rebounds as L.A. led in the final minute against the defending champions of the NBA, but could not close the victory in the Western Conference semis. I left everything I could on the floor, said James. I can leave the floor saying, even though I hate losing, I locked in on what I needed to do. Darn right. And another nice season for LeBron James. You take a look at his career and the career arc and the slowing down narratives for LeBron. Dude is 41 years old and can still play, still contribute, still be a surefire starter. And who knows? Maybe he goes to a place where he takes on a late stage Ray Allen type spot duty role. I don't really think that's his style. I don't think that there's a whole lot of fits like that in the NBA for LeBron James off the bench. And I'm not sure if the ego would let him come off the bench at 42, 43, 44 years old if he wants to keep playing. I can speak relatively unanimously on NBA fans and casual fans and watchers of the NBA that most people are expecting LeBron to come back and most people are wanting LeBron James to come back. I don't think there's a whole lot of LeBron James fatigue out there. I could be completely misguided on that, but personally, I want him to keep going because he makes me still feel pretty darn young. Somebody that I watched growing up back in 03 and that jersey coming out with the Cavaliers, and look at this kid, he's the next MJ. He ended up not being the next MJ because he ended up being LeBron James. They're so darn different. And you could have that debate all day long. The answer is probably Michael Jordan based on resume, but physical stature, ability, longevity, that's LeBron James. So it's an equal debate here based on who's the greatest of all time. It's hard to say between the two. I would lean, as you've heard on this show numerous times, I would lean MJ, but they're so darn different. It's not truly apples to apples between LeBron James and Michael Jordan and the talent that they played against, talent that they played with. There's a lot of different factors at play, but the 6-0 in the finals is that big bragging point. That is the ultimate kind of line of demarcation, kind of like when you talk Tom Brady against anybody else. Well, Tom's got 7 Super Bowl rings. What does your comparison have? Oh, 2, 1, 3? That's great. That's cute. Tom's got 7. Couple MVPs. Comeback Player of the Year award. Did it without Bill Belichick. And along the way in 2020, much to the chagrin of yours truly, had a playoff run that saw him beat Drew Brees, saw him beat Aaron Rodgers, and then saw him beat Pat Mahomes. So it's not always a equal debate here, but for LeBron James, I personally today am hoping and feeling that we haven't seen the last of him. Just based on the tenor of last night, what it felt like watching it, it didn't feel like, man, this is it. Look at the way he's trotting off the floor here. That guy's done. He's out of gas. He wants to go ahead and go on to that next chapter. Personally, I hope that's not the case. And I don't feel like that's the case here for LeBron James as he says so long to the 2025-2026 season. But I hope he's not saying so long to his phenomenal career, which is hopefully adding another crazy, ridiculous chapter at the age of 42 next year. Certainly, a lot to look forward to for LeBron James. That's the latest for the NBA and the NHL. Quick check of those odds while we still have you in hour number one. OKC solidifying as that number one spot in the finals. Odds minus 175. Spurs plus 390. Knicks plus 600. Pistons and Cavs plus 2,500 plus 3,500 respectively. Detroit a little higher. And then Minnesota, the long shot, plus 7,000 right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. That's hour number one. When we come back, headlines and highlights, Aggie baseball talk with head coach Tim Huber, and a big-time news dump out of the National Football League concerning the schedule and more. Vikings signed a pair of tryout players. We'll introduce you to those two coming up in hour number two. Stick around. Overtime continues after this on ESPN Sioux Falls.